to another episode of Torah Podcast. We got Roger back in the house. How are you, man?
Good, man. It's good to be back.
Good to be back.
Good to be back. I got to go downstairs in the basement that I hit my head on all the time, and we burned our arms. You showed me a new workout. It was great. Dude. My forearms are actually burning. I doubt I'll be able to type, so.
Forearm workout is really cool.
I love it, man.
It's my good. Friend Billy, he showed us, he does it on Instagram all the time. He's just massive guy. and he started building out his forearms, and he's like, yeah. I found a way, because he usually does it with just a string and a bar and just try to do that, but that's using your shoulders too. Mm-hmm. This is isolating just the forearm. Mm-hmm. And you basically wrap a band around the barbell. Mm-hmm. And then put a weight underneath it and then start rolling the band into the barbell, because the barbell spins. Mm-hmm. And that picks up the weight more and more and more, and then you do it the other way. Yeah, and it's just great workout.
It's a lot more fun than just doing a regular curling motion with your
we're doing rest. Pretty good weight. I mean, it's not crazy, right? 30 pounds,
but I feel like I'm training to rip a phone book in half,
yeah. But the funny thing is that I just jokingly told my son, come try this out. And he was able to get it up. I was like, yeah, let's go.
I was in my mind, I was like, put more weight on.
He ran through it. He did really, really good. It was proud dad moment right there. It's damn.
He tore right through it, man.
Kid is getting stronger. One day he'll beat me up so easily.
They said based on the way he was rolling with you, you're 5-7 years away from getting pinned at Christmas dinner constantly.
Dude, he just jumps on me and starts choking me out. It's hilarious. It's great. But yeah, just really proud dad moment there.
Yeah, man.
So what are we talking about today, man?
Anything. And everything, man.
Anything and everything.
Yeah.
always.
So, I have recently, I'm trying to always, move towards the farm, right? Or a homestead. And had this kind of opportunity just come up where someone I know has a care ranch. And a veteran's care ranch. So veterans with PTSD, or if they're injured, they go to this care ranch and they work, and try and, bring themselves back, but there's all these properties on it, and it's 40 acres, and it's a full-on farm, cattle, chickens, everything, pigs, and there's a double-wide, rancher there on 4 acres, fenced in, and they want to rent it for, $1,800 bucks, so my wheels started turning. I was like, could it be worth it for a year to sell, rent, and build somewhere else? I don't know.
But how are you going to build on rented land?
No. I will buy other land elsewhere with the sale of my home and build on that.
That's interesting.
Might even be able to buy a horse, dude. Nah. I just imagine myself cresting the hill on horseback, and the horse rears up and yells, and I got a cowboy hat and I take it off in one hand and I say hello that way now. And I no longer use an automobile. I only carry a rifle, a satchel, not a bag, a satchel.
Your imagination is wild.
Right? I think it's doable. What do you do?
That's remotely. Definitely doable. It's amazing. I am somewhat envious of people, that I watch online that are doing this.
Just homesteading,
chickens running around. And it's their whole life is living on, the minimal thing.
It's that's you, because you save up all that space in your head. That time is so well spent, right? I would still want to work. I love what I do. Yeah. I love where I work. I love
100%.
I have great friends, you and the people I would do never want to lose contact with. But all I'm saying is wouldn't it be cool if you came to visit me and I'd had an extra horse and a cowboy hat and rifle for you? And that was our day.
Ride.
But yeah, we're going to exercise our trigger finger. on the South 40.
When we were kids, we had horses. And
really?
And, yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, I don't know if we didn't have horses. Like, our country house, the neighbors and all that stuff had horses. So we would ride all the time as kids. Mm-hmm. And it was fun, you know.
That's awesome, man.
But, yeah.
My dad used to take me out when I was real, real little. Pennypack Park in Northeast Philadelphia. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He'd take me there. And there were stables there. They might still be there. But they had miniature horses and regular size horses. And we would go riding on the trail like there every Saturday morning.
Nice.
It was awesome. And I loved it.
That was great.
Horses are super, super spiritual. They're just like in tune. Like they can know, they know if you're like a good person.
Yeah.
Point being, do you ever see in London at the castle, the royal guards and the horses that stand there? Yeah. Some people, they'll be like, you're a dick, and they grab them and move them out of the way. They'll throw them.
Yeah.
But like, if like a child comes up to them or someone in a wheelchair, the horse goes out of its way to bend its head down and like close its eyes and like touch heads, like foreheads with it.
Yeah.
It's like amazing experience.
Yeah, my favorite is like they're like telling them like, don't touch the saddle. The reins.
Yeah.
Don't touch the reins. Yeah. And then they get bitten like by the horses. Yeah. The horses just like straight up bites them. Like it's like there's a big ass sign behind you that says horse will bite you.
Yeah.
It's like you're doing that at your own risk. It's like stupid tourist, man. So here's I swear to God.
Right? Like, does no one realize that the gentleman sitting on that horse's back in battle regalia, right, think that they might have trained the horse in military operations? They definitely do. That's part of the reason they're the guard, right?
Yeah.
The horse knows how to do battle, knows how to kick people and bite them. And you don't want to mess with the horse, man. They're way bigger than you.
The amount of videos that I've watched joyfully of tourists getting pummeled by animal.
I love it.
Because they're stupid enough to approach a bison in... You know, like on the street because it's so close. And it's like, look how beautiful and majestic. And the bison's like, you know, just like.
Or the moose, running. Like, dude, you know.
Just, oh, my God. Like, people are just not in touch with nature. They do not understand.
It's super rare for a wild animal to befriend you in a way that is not going to harm you.
This is not a Disney.
One or two. Yeah. Exactly. I've seen maybe one example that I can remember online of someone who. Two things. So someone has saved like a baby bear cub. Like he was like almost like an adolescent. He was stuck in a trap and they released him. And it was rare. He like moved away. He knew the bear was a killing machine, but the bear came back like on a weekly basis to visit. Didn't want food. Just came back to say hello. Then the bear brought her cubs back. And this went on for the life of the person. Yeah. Then someone who saved a deer, that deer brought the baby deer back. I've only seen two videos like that, though.
Dude, there's one that freaked me out because it was a lady. She had her baby, like, laying on the ground, like, kind of by the deck. Mm-hmm. And the deer is, like, can hear the baby crying, kind of like they're just, like, making noises.
Mm-hmm.
And it's approaching, and she's like, aww. The deer, mama deer knows, like, it's always a mama. And I'm just like,
I don't know.
That deer will stomp the hell out of your baby. I'm sorry, but, you know, it's like.
Don't let the wild deer approach.
No, I'm sorry.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Kick the baby.
Yeah, like, I don't get it, man. Like, you get those things where it's like the animal is, like, cool. Like, you see the Russian guys who, like, raised a bear and they're wrestling with it. It's just
super rare.
Like, super cool, super rare. Okay, but not for me. Yeah. I'll just say nope.
Yeah, I don't
and want move
my,
on.
My face eaten off by the bear.
Yeah, we have, you know, somebody in our company who like goes on like super rare adventures to the Himalayas to see, you know, like, you know, white tigers or whatever, you know, like or like the, you know, like these rare animals and photograph them and all this stuff. And there's like some pictures that she has where she's like 30 feet away from like this brown bear, you know, and the babies. And I'm just
dangerous.
Like, nope. But I was reading more into it. Like, there's a lot of those photographers who go there, and the ones that are by the coast, apparently are way more tame because they're eating salmon like all the time.
So they're content.
So there's no scarce of food. So it's like they're not bothered by the people there. You know, I still wouldn't do it, but like at the same time, it's like a little bit more like, okay, I get it.
Did you ever see the documentary about the guy who was like trying to save all the poachers of the bears?
Yeah.
Was it the, I forget the name of that, but like, do you remember the shot where he's swimming with the bears and he has them all names for all of them?
Yeah.
And
then he gets killed, right?
Yeah. Well, he goes to pet one and it's like, rrr. And then, so then like he swims away and then like later on to
Grizzly Man or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Grizzly Man. To not anyone who I think watched it, surprise, he was eaten.
Yeah.
He was plucked out of his tent by an 800-pound monster.
Yeah.
And they ate him. There was nothing left of him, really. All they found was bloody clothes.
Dude.
And he was inside the bear. The bear ate all of them.
Like, Jesus, man. Like, it's crazy. Nature be wild.
Nature do be wild.
Dude, one of my favorites too is the guy who raised this chimp, and the chimp just got too big for him. So he gave it to this place that would, like, you know, take care of the chimps and all this stuff. And every once in a while he would come and visit the chimp. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, you know, just hugs, all this stuff. So one time, he brought a cake for this chimp. And all the other chimps were like, no. Like, you brought cake for him, but not for me. They somehow got in the cage where he's at.
Uh-huh.
And literally just ripped the guy's balls off. Like,
oh,
like,
my God.
Like, literally, like tore this guy up. Because he didn't bring cake for everybody.
It's so messed up.
Like, the amount of stories that I hear like that is just like, oh.
Can you imagine, like, what the tribe of monkeys were saying when they saw him having his own special birthday?
They're hell no.
He bought Danny his own cake? Does he know we share everything? Where's our cake?
Bro. That is wild.
But here's the thing. When they go to fight, he was probably like, they probably like had to see. He's like, you grab his hands, I'll rip his balls off. You rip his nose off. they're vicious.
Dude, you ever seen the chimps like eating a monkey? Hunting a monkey?
Yeah. They're vicious, man.
Vicious, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's like organized.
It is.
They be like, okay, you take that corner. I'm going to chase him this side. That's where you cut him off.
Yep.
And they do it like the scientists who like basically watch these chimps are like, you know, like they say that it's almost like they do it for fun. Like it's something like natural in them that they just like want to hunt. But to me, like, when I see whether it's a chimp, whether it's like a tribe in Africa or, you know, a Komodo dragon, like kind of like eating a monkey, like the monkey has certain features that are just so close to a human baby. Like, it's just like freaky as hell seeing like them ripping out the hands and all that stuff. It's like, oh my God, gruesome.
<That's> terrible.
Watch the next one. Show me another one.
show me someone petting a monkey in a diaper.
Every day my younger son, like, we show him like pictures of, like, you know, animals, like cute ones and all that stuff. And it's like, I watch, like, my algorithm is like so messed up. It'll show me like all kinds of messed up.
So this morning, like, when I sat down with coffee, I flipped through, I was on news, and then I went to YouTube, and it was like exercise videos from Will Denneman.
Yeah.
Then it was a giraffe kicking the shit out of a panther or a tiger, right? Then
the lion. I know that video.
You already know what it is, right?
Yeah, like the lion mid-flight, like trying to bite him, is just like whack,
goodbye. Just letting him flying. Yeah, too.
Dude, it's hilarious.
it's like a melting pot. Then there'll be some like random like, oh, learn this functional Haskell programming. Learn the history behind that. I'm like, oh, like, then I'm like, oh, I want to watch it. I don't like YouTube has gotten so good that I don't really want to watch other
TV or something. Yeah. There's not much.
Well, I do find myself when I need downtime, I find myself intrigued by the real trash episodes of reality TV on like TLC or whatever it is. Like there's MILF Manor now.
MILF what?
Manor.
MILF Manor. Yeah.
So you can guess what that is, right?
No, I can't.
What? No?
No.
So
I mean, I know what MILF is, but
they put a bunch of older ladies
yeah.
in a big house and they put a bunch of young dudes in there with them.
Oh.
That's MILF Manor. But they sprinkle in an older guy like here and there. And it's like crazy in there, man. And it's just outrageous. Then they're Seeking Sister Wife, which I pick up on YouTube here and there, which is just...
Reality TV is just ridiculous.
No, I saw a dude in there. They asked him why he wanted to be in a plural marriage.
Yeah.
And he's like... And then he was like, oh, you know, this is our family. Like, we have children. We want a big family. We all love each other. Like, this is how our family works. But then they were like, what do you do for a living? He's like, I don't work. And he was like, he's like, plural family is like a game of chess. Like, you don't see the king out there running around doing stuff, but the queen gets to go all over the board. So his wives go out and work.
Oh, God.
And he said he does things that the family thinks enriches his life.
Yeah, I was talking to the Lord, and he told me, right? Like,
yes.
Yeah. It was like, really?
No, but it wasn't. I was just thinking to myself, like, pimping ain't easy.
Pimping.
Like, that's what that is, you know?
Like, pimping ain't easy.
He just called it something else, right? He just legalized it.
Every cult, everything just leads to, like, a guy trying to get more, you know?
It really does. It really does,
man. Like, everything just turns into that. Like, as soon as it goes, like, mainstream, it's like, yeah. And,
yeah, like,
you know,
wives.
I was told that you need to share the bed with me. It's like, that's how you'll be enlightened.
Yeah, you know how you get to heaven?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Well, those are like my mind downtime things when I do those, but they crack me up. Like,
you watch Netflix at all? Or?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. So a little bit here and there.
Whenever there's a new show with Shane Gillis that I really, really like called Tires. Do you know Tires?
No, I'll check it out though.
Dude, it's hilarious. One, Shane Gillis is from PA.
Mm-hmm.
So the setting is like, you know, Valley Forge Tires, you know, like everything is like in PA kind of thing, which is really cool. Another cool thing is like one of the CEOs or whatever for a company I used to work at, you know, and did consulting, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Was in the first episode.
Oh, really? That's awesome. That's kind of cool.
It was really cool to see them. I was like, what the hell? But yeah, like really, really funny. You know, Shane Gillis is just to me hilarious.
So I usually in the summertime, I try and step into like my sci-fi nerd, my inner nerd. So I usually like I started listening to this book. This came up in my algo, and because I listen to Audible books all the time, and sometimes they're like for work, they're for like some leadership, something on DevOps, whatever it is, technology, AI. I'll listen and walk. Why I walk the dogs. But then this other thing popped up called Dungeon Crawler Carl. And I was like, huh.
That's up my alley.
Like, that's up my alley. Like, I played Dungeons and Dragons plenty of times, and it is hilariously awesome. Like, the Earth gets, like, invaded by an alien race, and they're highly technological, and they flatten every structure. If you're inside, you're dead. And then if you're outside, you get to live, and they open up what is called the staircase to the dungeon. And you get to go down the dungeon, and you're in a dungeon, like a dungeon game, where you have like health points and potions, and the AI that runs the thing is unfair, and it's like inappropriate when it talks to you, and it's just, it's a really, really funny listen. Yeah. I highly recommend it.
I'm not into sci-fi.
At all? Bring out your nerd, man. Come on.
At all.
No? What's in your book list right now? Let's talk about that. What's in your book list?
The one I'm listening to right now is called Ego is the Power Killer or something like that. What? Let me bring it up really quick. It's called Ego is the Enemy.
Who's that written by?
Ryan Holiday.
I'll check it out.
Really good. It's funny because as I'm reading this, there's a quote by Eisenhower on it.
Is there?
And we had a workshop not too long ago, right?
Yeah.
And it was the day before like the workshop, and I'm reading this, and the quote by Eisenhower kind of stuck with me. And then in this workshop, they bring up like the Eisenhower, what do you call it, chart or something?
Yeah, that's just the Eisenhower method.
Matrix
of,
or whatever.
Matrix of importance.
Yeah, of importance. But yeah, like really, really good. I mean, like it just talks about like how you shouldn't have an ego. Like,
yeah, that's hard to not have. You don't realize it's there. That's the hard part about the ego stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, anything on my reading list is all like stuff like that.
I read like 20 like books, like ego, self-help, psychology last year. I listen, plus read. Sometimes, I don't know, like, I guess it's a waste of money a little bit, but I like to, if the book is good, I like to listen and read it. Like, I just like, I could finish it faster. So I'll like, cause now with Amazon, you can, if you buy the, you can buy it for like half price if you want to buy it on Kindle.
Okay.
So I have that. So like, I get books about like right now I'm reading one about making work visible to others. Like there's, it kind of goes over like, what's the best way to gain visibility? Like for like when you work with anyone, other people, they don't know what's inside your head. Like there is a depth to your knowledge that no one will know, but making that visible to others is a really difficult thing to do. And it doesn't come in the form of like writing all this stuff down or trying to take what's inside your head and put it out there for everyone. It's in the micro interactions that you have with other people.
Yeah.
Is how you really make work visible, because then you build a rapport, which builds trust. So when you say, yes and no to this, or then, it just is accepted and work becomes visible and smooth.
Nice.
Yeah. That was a cool one.
Yeah.
That was recommended to me.
But sci-fi is just not something that, I mean, I've watched, don't get me wrong. You know, you work in technology, you got to watch Star Wars, right? So I've watched Star Wars.
We wouldn't be able to be friends if you haven't watched Star Wars at least once.
I watch all the Star Wars. Game of Thrones is probably the most sci-fi thing that fun and brutal. I mean, not even sci-fi. I mean, like just like magical kind of thing.
It's not even that. Like, there's a little bit of magic sprinkled in that. It's just brutal.
But that's what I mean, though. Like I don't do that. Like, so that's like the most kind of thing that it will like interest me. You know. Other than that, it's like, you know, I look at it and I'm just like, yeah, I don't get it. Show me history. Like that one I like.
I do history too. Yeah. I like history too. That's part of the problem, right? It's the jack of all trades problem, right?
Yeah.
Like that's kind of like that's how I work. It's how I live. Like it's next thing, next thing, next thing, next thing. So it's a variety of things you get good at, but not something you ever get great at.
No, 100%. I can relate to that.
I love it. Like it's so much fun to be like, oh, like
ADHD is a power too.
Yeah. And you told me about that book. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go get them. I'm gonna research ego today. Like I'm gonna spend at least 45 minutes on ego today.
Yeah. No, 100%. My brother was making fun of me for that. Because he was like, oh, you know, like that's another thing that he invests a lot of money and time into and then lets go, you know, like, because it was like I used to be into cycling and, you know, like I spent all my money on like the best bike and all the stuff and did all the rides and, you know, did everything. Then running, then, you know, now it's like jujitsu and lifting weight. So he came downstairs and he's like, oh, that's all the money that he spent and he doesn't use. I was like, the gym gets used a lot in this house. I'm sorry, but maybe I'm not like powerlifting anymore, but I'm still like lifting. I'm still working out all the time. Like,
yeah, man.
It's like that was the best investment.
It is how you stay sharp between the ears, yeah. Right? There is no other proven way in a health study that's in a journal that says that you like doing mind puzzles or anything helps your brain grow or becomes your memory become sharper. If you exercise, you got a boost.
100%.
100% of the time.
It's the best thing ever.
It keeps my mind I have the ability to be calm and quiet. Like, and that was hard one for me before I started exercising, like sitting and breathing for 5 minutes and trying to just do that and be still was I need to do something. I'm going to get up and do something. Leg would start bouncing.
Yeah.
I would be off to the races, but.
No, like the exercising is stuck around, but like everything I do is like, you know, I take it to like, you know, full on 110%. And then like I whittle down and I'm like, all right. Yeah. I like this and I'll keep it in my life, but maybe I won't go, you know, like full.
No, that's the point. You do the jack of all trades, I think, is a master for tool, right? You get to try everything out and you do it to its max. And then you quickly move to the next thing. Like, since I've known you, some of the big events and things I've seen you do that I thought were super cool was you changed your career. Now it's sort of the same thing, but it's like a superpower now where you're at, right? You have like a superpower there, right? That was an awesome decision you made because you're like, I really like this. I'm going to be more interested in it. I'm going to learn this suite of tooling. That was the first thing. You raced Porsches for a while, right? Then stopped that. Then moved immediately. No, so you became like a long distance cycler. You've raced Porsches. Now you're doing jiu-jitsu and you have a full gym in your basement.
Well, I didn't race them. I mean, I did.
You told me you rode from like here down the shore once.
Yeah, no, that's cycling. Yeah,
that's crazy. I would never ride a bike that long.
It's not that bad.
Okay, not for me. It would be. I mean, I guess what do you do? Did you listen to a book on tape or something?
Nothing. No.
Just quiet.
No, one. I was riding with a buddy, so that was helping.
Yeah,
right.
So you can chase each other, I guess.
No, right? We were riding, and then there's stops along the way. There's maybe like four or five stops along the way.
Like, was it bar hopping or?
No. Like, it's organized. So it's like MS-150, right?
Yeah.
It's cool. And it's 75 miles there, 75 miles back, right? That's... If you want to do it the next day, right? So it's 75 miles one day, 75 miles the other day, right? But you can make it 100 miles in one day if you take an optional 25-mile loop along the way. Mm-hmm. So that's what me and my buddy wanted to do. Like, we wanted to do 100 miles one day. That's it. So we rode there, and once we're getting to the loop, he tells me, like, hey, you know, we're coming up to the loop. You want to do this? And I was like, let's do it. And the second we turn into the loop, like, it was funny because he starts pulling away and I start slowing down. And it was like the most scenic, beautiful, like pine trees, a lake, like it's awesome. Just beautiful, beautiful. But he starts pulling away and I start slowing down and I feel like I can't make it. And emotions just like kick in, like crap, I'm not going to make it. This sucks. Like, basically, like how, like, I felt like, I don't know, like, nobody would care if I make it, don't make it, whatever, right? But in my head, I'm like, I'm disappointing my wife, I'm disappointing my children. Like, I have like all these things running through my head. And then I realized, like, the reason that I'm going slower is because I have flat tire and I didn't. So immediately I get like a burst of like energy of like, yeah, that's the reason why, right? I'm not tired, it's just a flat tire, right? So I get out and I quickly like change the tube out and I shoot it with like CO2 and I start like sprinting to the next rest stop. And I catch up to my buddy and from there we finish the whole thing in like, no, six hours.
Six hours, 100 miles?
Huh?
100 miles, 6 hours?
Yeah.
Wow. So what's like the average speed? What was your average speed?
Well, whatever, 6 hours.
Is it like 15 miles an hour?
Huh?
15 miles an hour? 20 miles
an hour? Yeah, probably. But, yeah. You know, like there were stops along the way. And every single stop, my buddy was like, I got to go to the bathroom. he goes off and all that. But like, yeah. You know, there's rest stops with like, you know, water. So you could like fill up your water bottles. There's like oranges and blueberries. I asked about the speed
because when I pulled up, your neighbor was just going back and forth, sprinting on his bike, and he was going faster than the speed limit on the street. he rode past me on his bike.
Yeah, yeah, no. The one time on a downhill, I recorded on my Garmin 50 miles an hour.
So I know what 50 feels like in open air on wheels, and you're not under power, you know, protection on. So I used to longboard in my youth, long skateboard.
Yeah.
And you go to the top of a big ass hill and you put some knee pads on and you put some gloves on and then you just go down the hill. And we would always want to find hills that like had turns so we could slide around them. And we went to this one that was just, it was frightening. It was, so we were on a board, right? The scariest part about longboarding is when you get up to the 30 mile an hour range, it feels like 80 miles an hour. Right. And if you fall off, you're going for a while. So the trick when you fall off is to be like hands and knees or try and slide on your knees to a stop or slide the board to a stop. So when the board starts wobbling like this, you're done. So I'm bombing the hill and doing like 35 miles an hour and the board starts wobbling and I can't bring it back. So I aimed it for the grass and I went in there and I just went flying my hands and I was like, ah, and you make all the noises that you hear on like cartoons and go, ah, and then he goes tumbling. And luckily it was just like scrapes and stuff. It was okay. But like, you know, everyone loved it. They were like, dude, you were like 15 feet in air flying. That's not the first stupid thing I did going down hills. So when I used to go, I don't know if you experienced like craziness with sledding. It was
not really, but
yeah, I try and ride that like a skateboard, right? The sled, which was a bad idea. And then me and my friends are like up at this hill and we make this big jump at the bottom of, and it's a short hill. It's like 20 foot high, but it's steep. We found a real steep path. We built like a 5 foot ramp at the bottom of it. So you just bomb it and go off the ramp. Right. So someone had to try it. And I was like, I'll try it. And I get up there and I just go down it. And I don't know, as I thought I was going to like go like this and land on the other side and come back down smoothly. No, what wound up happening was I went up it, the sled disappeared as soon as I got off the ramp and I was just flying. And when I hit,
waving.
You know, I was waving. When I hit, I just was like, huh. Cause I just compacted the snow. landed on my back. And I was like wheezing. I was like, and I'm like reaching for my buddies to like help me stand up so I can be upright to get air in my lungs. And they're on the ground rolling and laughing, holding their stomachs. They were laughing so hard because they said it was like watching a cartoon. This, it was like watching the Road Runner bring the Acme bomb to the coyote.
Just hitting the wall painted like a tunnel.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
Yes, I always didn't have the best.
I'll tell you the most embarrassing fall I've ever had.
Right.
So when you first learn how to ride road bikes, right, you clip in into the pedals. And when you first learn how to clip in, I can imagine that every single person who's ridden clip-in pedals has had this fall. And you just basically come to a stop and you can't unclip and you just like literally like in slow motion just like just like fall down and like it has happened to me once or twice and it might have been a really busy intersection full of cars that are watching me just like go down. But it's so comical because it's like you're just like, okay, I'm falling, bah. And it's just like, god damn it.
I've had an embarrassing encounter in an intersection in Philly. This popped into my head and it's unrelated, but I used to have this German Shepherd mixed with a collie and he was bad, dude. He would lay behind the sofa when we lived in a row home and wait for someone to come in at screen door. And if they left it swinging, he was like, bye. He would kick it and run out, right? So I used to chase him down. He would always go down towards the cemetery, and I would chase him. So he would outrun me. He's a dog. So I'd chase him, run down. I get to Robbins and Jackson Street, right? And it's like residential. It's 4:30. Everyone's on their way home from work. The light is red, and all the traffic's like there, and people are getting out of their cars. And I like, kind of like crest the hill, and I see him. And he's just dropping a douche right in the middle of the street with to stop the traffic. And I was like, no, not to go there. Put his leash on him. And people were cracking up. They were like, at least you caught him, you know. And so that was super embarrassing. I was like, I was talking to my dog. I was like, dude, you're such a dick. What are you doing that for, man? Like, go to the cemetery that I always went to was 10 feet away. And there was a park 15 feet away. Roosevelt Playground. So,
and dogs like to shit like in the same spot usually.
That's what I was afraid of. Is he going to go back to the intersection?
No. You know, like, yeah. I'm just wondering if he went to the cemetery. Is it like one tombstone? And every time the family comes over, it's like, man. God damn. No, no, you clean up after.
I did check that. Like, that would.
Damn, Hubert.
Damn it, buddy.
But yeah, hobbies, man, they come and go. I don't know, for me.
Me too. Hobbies come and go. You know what? The one that I want, that I don't consider a hobby, that I always want to stick, is that now that I started working out again, I don't ever want it to stop. And I always want to continue. Even in my old age, I want to do that. I think that's how you stay
healthy. Yeah, definitely. 100%. The mobility stuff is like super, super helpful.
I love the mobility. You know, ever since you sent me the knees over toes vid, right? I was like, oh, let me start doing stuff. I always implement stuff like super small change that I can commit to a few times a week, and I do it. So the one thing that I do from there is that like that knee over toes, like the lunge on, like I have a seat because I don't, it's uncomfortable for my right knee to go all the way to the ground with it. So I just put my foot on a seat and I just move forward, and I do like, it's like 10 reps, two to three sets, 10 reps in the morning. And my knees feel fantastic doing that. I do hip mobility stretches and just like 10 minutes in the morning, but it's like makes all the difference.
Huge difference.
Big, big difference in my life, my day to day.
Yeah. That's definitely one that I feel like it was like great thing. Like starting like working out and all that stuff. Cause before it's like, if I worked out, it was either through a hobby like running or biking. Mm-hmm. But like the gym was never something that I like attached to working out. Like I would go to the gym and I would like do little workouts and it would never stick. But once I found like weight training and all that stuff, it's like, oh, there's something like that will stick around for a while. You know, like definitely for sure.
Weight training is my favorite type of training. I don't like, you did a lot of biking, so you clearly do enjoy cardio, or you're kind of tired of cardio now. I really dislike cardio. Well, I'd rather burn my legs and get cardio that way in the weight room.
It's not that I like cardio.
I don't like cardio. I walk backwards. And I always warm up by walking backwards in the gym. I love doing that.
I don't know. Just cardiovascularly, I'm okay, right?
I walk every day for an hour with the dogs. That's what I consider my cardio, right?
That's really cool.
I try to run with them. I was going to do like low impact running, but the golden retriever is like leash taut. He's like, yes, let's go as fast as I can go, not you.
When I went to New York, I stayed with my kid's godmother, right? Mm-hmm. And her roommate would go on like walks. Mm-hmm. At like in the morning, and I was like, yeah, I'll join you, right? Like I wake up early. It's like, and we went for like a 6 mile walk in the morning. It was great. Like I would love to incorporate that into my daily kind of thing. Just like go for a walk in the morning, 1 hour, you know, just come back and start the day that way. Mm-hmm. You know, no huge workouts or anything like that.
You want to come over and walk one of my dog with me?
Yeah, let's do it. In the morning? Let's do it then.
I walk them all the time. It's the best thing. Like, if you can incorporate the morning walk, like, for one thing, I know you watch Huberman, so you get outside and you get the vitamin D, right? Big, big start to your day. Like, I do that anyway. I do 5-10 minutes outside as soon as I get downstairs. Then having the dogs walk, like, I drink a bunch of water, a little bit of water, eight ounces, I go out. It's a great way to start the day.
How long do you walk for?
I just like 10 minutes. Like, it's a 20-minute walk. It's okay. Not like 10, 20 minutes. It's real short. It's just, you know, because I get on early, right? Like, I on before.
Yeah.
So I can get stuff done, but.
It'll be cool, too. Maybe I'll start doing that. I'll report back next time.
Get a dog. Get a dog and take a lot of allergy medicine all the time.
No, just like, seriously, like, okay, this is it. I'm committing this week, waking up in the morning, going for walks.
Yeah. Like, even if you go out your back door and make a right and walk the perimeter of your property and come back, start there.
No. Like, you know me, 110%. I'm going 6-mile walk.
Get the greatest pair of walking shoes the world has ever seen. You're going to have to start researching them now.
I mean, I know what sneakers are.
You already have them. I already know. I got some ideas.
No, but I would love to incorporate that as a thing, because I've done the morning workouts and all this stuff, and that was always great to work out in the morning. Mm-hmm. That has since stopped. So except one day a week, I go, you know, to this gym to roll for like an hour at 5 a.m. And then go to work after that. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you know, usually workouts come in the evening or sometimes even
for me lunchtime. I love the lunchtime workout. Like Fridays, we don't have meetings, like, because you're not supposed to have meetings in the afternoon. I 100% go to the gym every single Friday, and I work out for an hour and I come back. I love doing that, getting the workout in it over lunch. Because you have your night free then.
Yeah. You know? No, it's so cool. Like, I've told my coworkers, I guess, like, if you ever like see me in a meeting of like red shirt in the morning and then like a green shirt in the afternoon, you knew I worked out in between there. It's like, that was my going for lunch
kind of thing. That's just something that I think is positive for any company to adopt. Like, if your people are going to take a little bit extra time at lunch or before and after to work out, it should be a good thing, because you get a better afternoon.
Yeah.
Like, my afternoon is actually productive compared to when it's not. Like, I wake up and I'll have my coffee, you know, and I don't skip breakfast all the time, but I do have a fairly healthy meal for breakfast and lunch, but I still get tired at 2:30. Right. And I'm like, oh man, my brain's not.
Man, at the picnic, I saw you eating some unhealthy stuff.
There was 2 cheeseburgers, man. How is that unhealthy? I got my protein in.
How many cookies?
I had 2 cookies. Two cookies. It was fair. I was good. I haven't been losing weight. I've just been maintaining.
Yeah.
But it's just because I'm tired of, you know, I'm a little.
I was doing like really good, and then my brother had the wedding. Yeah. And I don't drink usually, but like this time I was drinking a lot, and like my weight just like skyrocketed.
Really?
I'm like, oh, so now I'm like finally like getting back to where I was and going down again, but like. It was bad, man.
Yeah,
I don't drink, man. It's so bad for you. It's like, but you know,
I was watching a bunch of research on it. Like people say, like, why do people think that like just a glass of red wine is good for you? And like a lot of research came out the last few months says none of it's ever good, not even a little bit is any good. It's toxic to your body, all the time.
I don't think anything is like toxic per se.
Well, it's a carcinogen, right? Like,
I think it's like your body can take it, right? Like, but it's the moderation of it, right? Like, too much is never good of anything.
Yep, agreed. And even too much of water will poison your body.
Yeah,
eventually.
So I think that everything in moderation is okay. It's just this weekend wasn't moderation. This past weekend was just bad. Yeah. And I got sunburn. Well,
but that's like, oh, like, really?
Because we were at the pool like all day long, like literally all day long. Yeah. And so like my shoulders, my nose was just like sunburn. And I was just like, oh, this sucks. But yeah, I learned that.
But having the wedding here, like, that's awesome, man. You guys, like, did all that and you had a good time, man.
Yeah, it was great.
That's the way you're supposed to do. You're supposed to celebrate and have a good time and turn it out, man.
It was amazing. I do not regret doing it, but never again. It's one of those things that's like, my sister was like, oh, this is so cool. Maybe I'll have my wedding here. And I was like, nope, sorry, we're booked closed. For the summer. Yeah, we're closed. Yeah, we're done. Here. It's like, oh, what about next year? It's like, sorry, we're booked solid. No more weddings here. But yeah, it was a cool time.
Yeah, man. Awesome.
Want to wrap it up here?
Yeah, man. Let's do it. All right. See you next week.
See you.